your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
The word entitlement seems to be popular these days. Either we are exclaiming our entitlement to something, or we're upset because someone else incorrectly feels they're entitled to something. Are we entitled to food, safety, health care? Maybe you feel entitled to expressing your opinion, or saving the rest of us from an opinion you feel bad about. Are you entitled to a good education, a job paying above a certain wage, a place to live beside your parents' basement or under the back road bridge? I may want all of us to have many of those things, but entitlement is not the way. To me, entitlement is defined as a right to have by demand. It's not a gift, or if it is, there is no appreciation for it. Instead, it is a you owe me obligation for which nothing is owed in return. Is that truly the type of people we want to be or have become? For some time now, we have held the belief that we are entitled to whatever we want, as though just because we can dream it means that we should have it. Certainly the American motto has always been, live your dreams, but people seem to have forgotten that was meant as a hard work-based philosophy. The hard work has been dropped, almost out of atrophy. That's why the lottery is so popular and lawsuits have increased. People forget that with the feeling of entitlement, automatically comes a loss of effort. So I spent the week thinking about to what I am entitled. I couldn't come up with anything. Oh, sure, I came up with things to trade, a job paying a certain wage because I was talented and hardworking, expressing my opinion because I took the time to vote for those allowing me to continue doing so. But entitled? Almost nothing. I suppose love from my parents would be the only thing to which I truly feel entitled. They owe me that for bringing me into this world. I guess I am truly only entitled to my free thought. Not necessarily my announcement of it or my publication of it. Just the ephemeral thought itself. Everything else we should feel lucky to have or work harder to get or keep. And our free thoughts should help us get there. Stop waiting for someone to hand it to you. And here we go on today's wake-up call, boys and girls. A beautiful, beautiful Sunday. Let's thank Blue Ridge Graphics for helping us be here for you. Blue Ridge Graphics, Mead Avenue at East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. A very interesting program for the day, at least interesting to me. I'm sure you'll all end up copying my thoughts. Todd Barnett of the soon-to-exist Field School. Todd, how's it going?
It's good. Thanks for being... Thanks for having me here, Rick.
Well, I'm glad that you could be here with us. The Field School, soon to open in September of this year, September 2007.
That's right. September 2007.
And the Field School is going to be a middle school for just boys.
That's right. That's right.
So the hours talk today is about single-sex education. We're going to focus on the middle school area, but we'll get into some of the other thoughts out there in the research world about single-sex education. Todd, I guess, tell everybody, first of all, you know, who you are, how you got into education, because I'm assuming that you have some educational background if you're going to open the school. What's the mission of the Field School?
Well, first of all, about me, I grew up in West Virginia. I went to school at UVA a long time ago. And I then taught for a year before going on to graduate school at the University of Pennsylvania. And ever since then, and a little bit while I was at Penn, I've been a teacher. I think I have 18 years of experience at this point. And most of that has been in boys' school. And for the most part, that's been at a school outside of D.C. in Bethesda, Maryland, called Landon School, that I'll probably talk about a little bit later. But the mission of Field School, which is opening in the fall, in September, out in Crozet, as it turns out, is to develop well-rounded boys of character and accomplishment. We wanted to keep the mission very short and simple. There are a lot of schools out there that have missions that are very long and seems like no one quite can remember what they are, and the mission becomes whatever someone wants it to be when it becomes too long. So we're keeping it really simple.
So your goal is, say that one more time, because it's effectively a sentence.
That's right. Develop well-rounded boys of character and accomplishment.
All right. So, but do we, I don't think anybody's going to disagree that that is a wonderful mission and an incredible goal. Do we need another school? Another all-boys school with that mission?
Yeah.
Because we already have several in this area.
Yeah.
We already have several all-boys schools who, I would assume, have a similar mission.
Well, we do have some all-boys schools kind of on the periphery of Charlottesville, but this is the only middle school for boys that's going to be available to families around here. I suppose, you know, there might be boarding schools that are available to families around here, but this is going to be the only day boys middle school that's out there. I suppose there's two ways to answer that. First of all, there is a girls' middle school in town called Village School, which has been around for 12 years. It's downtown on East High Street. The directors and the founders of the school are Pearl Hartwell and Jamie Noor, and they've been doing a great job downtown, and they've been a real inspiration to me. Pearl Hartwell is on my board, and that's a lot of the reason that I'm doing this. Is because the Village schools in town, there is this opportunity for girls locally, but there's not this opportunity for boys locally. And the other part of it is I think there's always a place for a good school. Any good, you know, strong institution where people come in with a great deal of enthusiasm and energy and they want to make something better, I think there's a place for that. And I wouldn't be doing this if it weren't for many parents in the area encouraging me to do so over the years. Kind of hounding me about it, and so I think I'm responding to what people believe is a need in this area.
All right, because I want to get into that, and we will throughout the hour as we talk with Todd Barnett. Official title is head of school. Is that correct?
That's right.
Head of school at the soon-to-open Field School, an all-boys middle school, and you're going to open with fifth and sixth graders.
That's right. We're following the model of the Village School as much as we can. And they started with grades 5th and 6th 12 years ago. And they had a lot of success doing that. You kind of limit what you're doing in the beginning. You also give students the opportunity to be there for at least 3 years. So the 6th graders that come in will have the opportunity to go to 7th grade in the following year. So we'll add 7th grade in 2008. We'll add 8th grade in 2009. So it gives those kids the opportunity to be there, you know, for 3 years.
And then that's your goal, is to be a four-year
That's right, a four-year middle school.
By the time you finish, you'll be grades 5 through 8.
That's right. Most middle schools out there are grades 6 through 8. I don't know about you, but I went to junior high, which was grades 7 through 9. So there's lots of
middle school.
Really?
Yeah.
Although it was
a long time ago, and I think we were one of the first middle schools, and it was, I think it was 6 through 8.
Yeah. Well, locally in the city system, kids start to go to what's called an upper elementary school in fifth grade, but it has a lot of characteristics of what we would think of as being a middle school because it's many more children. To the same number of kids who are going to go on, well, not the same number, but it's a much bigger institution than the local elementary schools in the city. And then in the county, we do have a middle school system, which is 6 through 8. But the experience of the village school has been that they get most of their girls at fifth grade, and so I wanted to start at that same point.
I'm curious, you know, we're talking about middle school. We're talking about, do you prefer single sex or single gender, which is the proper phrase here? I always like to fit in with my crowd.
I say single sex.
All right. Your goal is to fill a niche that you feel is already needed, is already there but needs to be expanded, or that doesn't have anywhere enough options for parents to send their kids to if they feel they need to?
Well, I suppose there's three reasons I'm doing this. One is I started a camp with a friend of mine, Jay Fennell, in town 8 years ago. It's called Field Camp. And we have a summer program that's out in Free Union. And that has been a great thing
for me.
Is that
single gender, single sex?
No, it's co-ed. But it's been in terms of running an institution. It's a camp institution, so it's not, you know, like a traditional educational setting, but it does have a lot of the same characteristics of a school program. You know, you've got a lot of kids there. You're thinking about safety. You're running a small business, and you're thinking about marketing. So there's a lot of things that are that the camp experience has provided me with that I think I'll bring to bear in running the school. So that's been part of it. A lot of satisfaction doing that. A second motive is I feel like just personally, this is something I would like to do. I just I'm motivated to do it. I have a great deal of energy about it.
Is that motivation to teach in a formal school setting? Or to teach a single-sex group of boys?
Well, I suppose it's more to teach in a small school. That's what really I think is going to set us apart and what sets a village school apart. In many ways, it's a small school, and I think in a small school you can really make a community in a way that you can't in a much larger institution. But the third part of that is that I don't necessarily think that this is a school that's right for everybody. But it is one that I think is right for many boys. And I certainly have a lot of parents who are coming to me and telling me that they're happy that we're doing this. And I think those kinds of choices out there in, you know, the educational market is a good thing. I think it makes the existing schools better if you have competition. And there are many students who are out there who are going to be better served by what we have to offer. So some combination of those reasons. So I think the market's out there by virtue of the fact that Village School has done as well as they have. Village School has 65-70 girls right now in middle school, you know. So obviously filling a great need in this area, and that doesn't exist on the boys' side. And it just seems to me, you know, pretty clear that that opportunity should be out there for boys as well.
Is this a are you increasing the concept of, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, or setting that aside, saying the village isn't doing a very good job of raising these boys and giving them a sort of, what did you call it? The two words you used, roundness.
Well-rounded.
Well-rounded, and what was the other word in your mission?
Develop well-rounded boys of character and accomplishment.
Right, so the village isn't giving them the character and accomplishment that they should, so we're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't want to run down any of the schools that are out there. It's the last thing I want to do. I think there's a A lot of great schools out there and a lot of very good teachers and people who are working really hard in, you know, particular settings to educate children. And I think that the motives of teachers are pure and wonderful. And so I don't want to say anything negative about schools that are out
there.
That
doesn't mean that the structure is set up properly. I mean, the people can be great.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. And structurally, the thing that I think is going to be different about our school is it's going to be very small. And when you have a school that's small, at that middle school level, you can accommodate particular kids, whether they're a little faster or a little slower in a particular classroom. You can get to know them much better, and you can get to know them across the board so that, you know, wherever I've taught in the past, I've known a good chunk of the students who are there. But when you have schools that are, you know, 500, 600 kids or up, even smaller than that, it's really hard to know every kid. It's hard to know every kid by name, and it's even, you know, more difficult to know every kid and sort of know how they work and to build a community. And that's the third part of it. Building a community is very difficult. I've been reading a lot of the social science literature in the last year. I suppose I've read this in Malcolm Gladwell's book and in Jonathan Haidt's book, The Happiness Hypothesis. He's a UVA professor whose book I found very persuasive. And there is this sense among a lot of social scientists that it's very difficult to establish a meaningful community where people know one another if you have more people in that community than 150 people. And when you go into a school and you have kids, and then you have parents, and you have teachers, you know, if you have what I'm planning to have, which is 64 kids eventually, 64 kids and, you know, 10 or 15 staff, and then all the parents that are going to come with those kids, that's a pretty big community. And I think that's probably big enough. And I think the frustration that I've had in teaching in schools that are bigger is just that problem. You know, you go into this school that's describing itself as a community, but it's really difficult for people to know one another. And so I'm hoping that that's one of the things that we're going to be able to address at our school, which is going to be no bigger than 64. It might get up to closer to 70 at its capacity, but we're going to have 16 kids per class, which is the model. And that's what Village has. And I think that they have been very successful in creating that sense of community.
All right, 11:19 here on the Wake Up Call, boys and girls. Todd Barnett is here as we talk about the soon-to-open field school here in Central Virginia, a single-sex middle school. We're going to be getting into why that's needed sort of academically and what other folks say about that. Feel free to dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877 1-877-WNRN Rocks. And if you're driving around on this lovely day, star NRN on your Intellos wireless phone is free. Dial us up. I got a caller now, but caller, hang tight 1 second. Let me take care of my duties for the moment. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today, highs 70 to 75, partly cloudy tonight. Lows 40 to 45, a little warmer in Richmond in the 50s. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs 75 to 80, mid-80s in Richmond. Right now in the valley, oh, it's so pretty, 67 in the valley, 67 in Lynchburg, 71 in Richmond with a few clouds, and 67 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support today also coming from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, getting you outside this spring with everything you need for the trail, including maps and guidebooks and footwear for any trail. Blue Ridge also offers backpacking classes, overnight guided backpacking trips. You can find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barrack Show Shopping Center here in Charlottesville at Wintergreen and at brms.com. All right, let's check our first call. Star, are you still with me?
I am.
Hi, Star's from Lynchburg. Thanks for calling. Yes. Fire away.
Well, first of all, it sounds like both of you all are skirting around this topic, and I think my gut reaction is, hallelujah, because I think that young men in that age group perhaps definitely need some strong values and good instruction. There's so many things happening at that age with, I think, young men. And, you know, and I don't know what's going to be taught, but my gut reaction is it sounds great. And don't be afraid, just yeehaw.
Well, I don't think, I will speak for Todd and say that he's not skirting around this, because he and I sent some emails back and forth a bit. I may have put it back into the program a little later than I should, but we'll let Todd jump on that now. Thanks for calling, Star. Yeah, Todd, you know, Star brings it up. And it is a question sort of down my list a little bit, not for any particular reason. And why, you know, what are the pros and cons of having these boys, you know, separated? Is it about the hormones? Is that why you think that they'll do better? Is it, you know, the educational methods, cultural issues? Okay, great. We need stronger, you know, representatives for them to look up to, so that they have that that development and accomplishment and moral values. But is that because they can't learn it under the current school system and the way it's set up, or because their hormones are too strong?
There's a number of reasons I think that boys' schools tend to be good places for a lot of boys. And field school is going to be a school that has a lot of male role models as part of the institution. And, I think that's a really important thing. And that's one of the things a lot of parents are telling me, is that they like the idea of men teaching their boys.
So only men on your faculty?
No, not only men.
Okay. I'll let you continue. I'll come back to
yeah.
that.
Not only men, but really what we want are, teachers who understand the way boys work. We had Michael Thompson come and speak in February at Piedmont Virginia Community College. It was sponsored by Field School Woodbury Forest School. And Michael Thompson is a writer and he's actually a school counselor at his most basic level. But he wrote a book about 8 years ago called Raising Cain, which got a great deal of attention. It was a New York Times bestseller, and he's followed that up with four or five other books on child development, mental issues. And if you're sort of in the know about child development issues and you go to conferences and that thing, the chances are you've seen Thompson and heard him speak. He's a very persuasive speaker. I think it's fair to say when he came here, no one left unsatisfied with what he had to say. And Thompson very much promotes the idea that there are some teachers who kind of get it with boys. They like boys. They understand the way they work. And then there's some teachers who don't get that. And they find boys to be a little, you know, annoying, a little troubling. They, you know, run around too much. They maybe move around too much. They won't sit in their seat and learn the way that they're supposed to. So I want to try to stay away from the latter kinds of teachers. And certainly the latter kinds of teachers are, you know, very effective in many ways. But a lot of boys get the idea that they're not liked, that what they're doing is not right somehow. And there certainly does seem to be a developing crisis with boys in education out there. I don't know that I know this number specifically, but I believe that the number of, if you take the number of people who are graduating from college these days, it's 60-40, women 60% of the college graduates and men 40. I might be a little bit off on that. It might be 58-59%. I'm confusing it somewhat with the numbers at UVA. I think one is 60. I think nationally it's 60, and at UVA it's 58. But for some reason, boys aren't going to school. They aren't going to college as much. They aren't graduating from college as much. Even in law school and med school, as I understand it, there are now more women graduating from those institutions across the country than there are men. And some, you know, some people might say, hallelujah, you know, women are finally having the opportunity for equality, which is great, but, you know, when it starts to skew that much, you start wondering, well, what's going on here?
Well, my question is, you know, do we know, do you know, or have your belief, is this a cultural issue where because women have sort of been overlooked and held back in the past, now they're getting the attention? Is this an academic concern where the structure of how the schools are set up, you know, where a majority of elementary schools, or majority of teachers, certainly until maybe you get to high school, are women.
Yep.
And possibly the administration as well. Or is this a physical issue where, you know, having middle school boys around middle school girls, they can't focus enough to do their homework?
Yeah, and vice versa, right?
Oh, no, I give them much more stability than any middle school boy.
To address the question, and this is answering very much in the way in which I heard Thompson answer this. There might be two basic reasons. It might be that boys learn differently, and schools, as they are designed today, are not necessarily designed to work well with the boy learner, the boy brain. And I think that probably has a lot to do with it. And when I suggest that there are a lot of teachers out there who do things one way and the boys, you know, are not necessarily playing along, I think that probably has a lot to do with it up through middle school anyway. The other part of it that might be going on is motivational. It might be that boys are getting the message that there is something wrong with them. And if you go into, well, society in general, but certainly if you go into middle schools out there, and you look at either end of the spectrum, who is, which kids are in leadership positions in the middle school, which kids in class are doing their homework on a regular basis, that's on the positive end, or on the negative end, which kids are getting in trouble regularly, which kids are starting to engage in risky behavior, risky sort of preteen or teenage behavior. You're going to find that girls tend to be on the more positive end of that, and the boys tend to be, you know, on the struggling end of that. And it might be that boys are getting this message over and over that school is not the place for them.
It's not cool. I mean, you know, it's not cool to be the smart guy in the classroom.
Yeah.
It's okay to be the smart girl in the classroom.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it might be class to class, too. It might be that in science and math class, the boys are a little more motivated, they're a little more successful. Whereas maybe in English class or in drama class or arts and music, the boys don't think it's cool. Whatever those, you know, things that are going on out there from class to class, I do know some of that goes on. And one of the things that's good about a single-sex girls at school or a single-sex boys school is that a lot of that doesn't happen. You know, in single-sex girls schools, the girls tend to do better in math and science. In single-sex boys school, the boys are going to do better in English and arts and music, and so forth. There are places in school where boys rise to the top. You know, in sports programs, boys are really into that, and they excel in that context. I do think that boys do a lot better in those places where traditionally boys don't do as well. If it's an all boys crowd,
you're talking about like home ec and drama. Art?
Well, I'm not anticipating the home ec class in our school.
I think it's called something else now.
Yeah, that goes way back. Do they have that anymore?
It's now like domestic engineering or something.
Okay. They had that in my day.
But is that, date myself. Seriously? I mean, is that, because I went to your website, and by the way, www.fieldschoolcv.net.
That's right, fieldschoolcv.net.
What's the CV stand for?
Charlottesville.
Oh. Fieldschoolcv.net. And you list the classes that will be provided.
Yeah.
And every student of every year takes an art, drama, music
set. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're if you don't mind my talking about the curriculum for a moment, we're going to do in many ways a traditional curriculum. It's going to have English, history, math, science, and Latin. We're teaching Latin. Village School does that. We feel like it provides a foundation for a lot of different fields that kids might go into, whether it's a particular language, whether it's grammar in English, whether it's law, science, you name it out there. Latin seems to provide a foundation for students that people appreciate once they've had it. Then we're going to do an arts and music program. There's also going to be, we're actually going to try to do 10 things. That's six, including the arts and music, and I'll get back to it. But in addition, we're going to have a study hall, study skills study hall. We're going to have a work program, a leadership, ethics, life skills program, and team sports. All those things are going to be part of the program. And I think that's one of the things when I say well-rounded, we're going to do all those things.
Are you going to start recruiting, like, kid basketball players to come so you can whoop up on all the other JV schools?
You know, I'm definitely recruiting right now. I'm not necessarily just recruiting for basketball players, but we are definitely interested in recruiting students. But going back to the arts and music, we are going to have a serious arts and music program. It will meet 3 days a week. Both arts and music will be going on. We'll have arts units and music units. And you were kidding me earlier that my teaching staff looks like a band, and there is some truth to that because I have a lot of very talented artists and musicians who are signing on to teach at the school. And I think that arts and music is going to be something that's just laced through the program of the school. And if you don't mind my plugging, I have we've got a benefit Tuesday night at Star Hill featuring Corey Harris. Sons of Bill are playing acoustically. I should say Corey Harris and the 5x5. And Corey's on our board and is going to be part of our teaching staff next year. And if you don't know Corey Harris, he's a very talented blues musician and Charlottesville resident who has joined up and is very supportive of what we're doing and is going to teach music for us next year. Sons of Bill is going to be playing acoustic set. Mariana Bell is going to be there. And Downbeat Project, which is a great local band with Clarence Green and Zach Blatter and Gerald Soriano. And we're going to have a silent auction going on in the back, and you're going to see a lot of art and music represented back there. And I think it's going to be an art and music school from the beginning. I think it's going to be an important thing, part of what we do.
All right, let me toss this out there. 11:33 here on the Wake Up Call with Todd Barnett from the soon-to-open Field School here in the Charlottesville area. Single-sex education, specifically the middle school area, is what Field School will be, grades 5 through 8. 11:33 in the Wake Up Call. Dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877, WNRN Rocks. Let me take a moment and thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for their support. You can find Five Guys in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, the Hollymead Town Center, and now in the Downtown Mall in Charlottesville. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open until 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. You can find them on the web at fiveguys.com. That's FIVE guys.com. And I also want to remind you, speaking of school and camps, it's not too late to register your camper for a Cavalier Daily Camp. Cavalier Daily Camp is a fun educational experience for kids entering grades 1 through 5, and open registration for it is underway now at the UVA Aquatic and Fitness Center. The program is available to the community. Online program info and registration forms are at virginia.edu/ims/CDC. All right, back to Todd and the Field School. Again, 979-0919, 1-877, WNRN Rocks is the toll-free number. You know, you talk about the upcoming musical fundraiser event. I'm curious, there's got to be a lot of financial needs to get the school open and to get the school running and keep it running.
Yeah.
How do you start a school from scratch?
You know, I'm not sure if you want to give me any advice. I'm all ears. Well, in my case, I've done it by appealing to people in the community, and I've fortunately had this camp that's given me the opportunity to establish a foothold in the community and get to know a lot of parents that way. And the biggest chunk of students who are coming to the school in the first year are coming because they have come to my camp and they know me, and so that's a significant part of how I've been able to develop it. But you know what? I'm learning as much as I can about development through the course of the year. Ultimately, we're a school which will depend for the most part on tuition. That's the way that most private schools work out there, and we will too. But so far, so good. You know, our business plan is developing as we had anticipated about 2 years ago when we started all this.
So break my... just my general stereotype that a private school isn't either for uppity class people who have a lot of money and don't want their kids to go to public school, or families that have to send their kid there because the kid is regularly in trouble and they need some sort of new, more strict environment.
Yeah, I'd rather...
talking to a 12-year public school kid.
Yeah, well, I was too. I was a 16-year public school
kid. Stop laughing.
Counting UVA.
I can beat that. It makes me a 19-year public school kid.
Okay, all right. You got through quickly. Or slowly. I also went to public schools, and I would rather that our school did not have either of the images that you just described. We are trying to avoid and having a lot of success. I don't think it's going to be like this at all, but we have a relatively low tuition rate for Charlottesville. I think we have the lowest tuition rate of any private middle school in town, or non-public middle school, or independent middle school in town, or whatever. And we're trying to make it affordable to people out there who have their kids in public school and who anticipate them going back into public school after going through field school for 4 years. And there's a lot of parents who I have, there's some who for whom payment is not that much of an issue, and there's some for whom paying the tuition at field school is going to be a difficult thing to do. It's going to be hard to make ends meet. And I would imagine that describes a lot of families who are out there that might be anticipating going to a school like ours. But I think they're also just looking for an alternative, and they know that their child is not necessarily having a very good experience where they are. And so they're coming to us and saying and wanting to learn more about our program. And then on the other side of that, you kind of described this misfit child. And I tell you, that was a concern I had in going into this, and some people expressed that to me. They said, that's what you're going to find. But that is not what I found so far. I found that the kids who are coming to me are great boys. They're great kids. And I'm eager to work with them, you know. And I think to a certain degree, I did really well in public schools, but I have a lot of sympathy for some of the struggles that they're having. And I know that given the way things work today, a lot of these kids are just a little different than what is expected of them in these big schools where, you know, the bigger it gets, the more you're trying to fit these kids into a particular profile in the schools. And again, we're going to be small enough that we can accommodate kids who, you know, they don't necessarily have the same characteristics as all those kids who maybe are the ideal students in the class.
Why just, and I can understand why necessarily you and your organization wouldn't want to add elementary and high school to what you offer, because, you know, again, starting the school from scratch, it's difficult. I would think it's difficult enough for faculty and financial purposes to cover four grades.
Mm-hmm.
But what about single-sex education for elementary schools, for high schools?
Yeah, you know, I haven't been asked as many questions about single sex for elementary. I haven't really thought that through quite as much. I haven't talked to... I don't necessarily have the sense that there's a strong demand for elementary school single sex education. There may be, and I just might not know that much about it. And what I hear is that a lot of people feel like the right time is during middle school. And there is a movement going on with public schools out there, which came up in the city last year. I think it was Kendra Hamilton, the city councilwoman, who brought it up in one of the city council meetings, and it made the newspaper and got some attention, the idea of going to single-sex public education in the city. And it didn't get anywhere ultimately, but, you know, it comes up a lot. And there's also a man who, Dr. Leonard Sachs in Rockville, Maryland, who got a lot of attention for this about a year ago. There were Newsweek articles and all that media attention for single-sex public education. And it's happening out there in certain districts, certain locales, that they're going to single-sex public education. It tends to be at the middle school. I don't know what percentage it is, but I think it's a really high percentage, 90-95% or something like that, at the middle school. So that seems to be where most of the demand for it is. I think it's important through high school. I think one could make the argument that it's a beneficial thing for a lot of boys, a lot of girls who are out there. There aren't that many single-sex colleges left. There are more women's colleges than there are men's colleges. There are only four men's colleges left, and I don't know the number for women's colleges, although there are at least four in Virginia. if my count is right. So while I'm a supporter of single-sex education, it does seem to be that middle school is the place where most people are supportive of it.
All right, 11:41 here on the wake-up call with Todd Barnett from the Field School. Michael's out there waiting to patch your call through. If you have a question or a comment, 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
All right, more on the Virginia Tech incident, grieving, preventing, and moving forward. Charlottesville City Council candidate Jen McKeever sits on the interview hot seat, sharing how a negative experience at age 21 changed her life. And it seems few places besides Charlottesville would have a lunch cart selling duck kebabs and bacon-wrapped dates. Check out the dish for this latest food stop. The Hook, I think you need to go scratch and sniff with the restaurant info. And let's thank 45fix.com for their support. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate, no-obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And if you can hear the dancing in the background, that's Patrick. Les Temps Purdue starts up at 9, the best of 80s and 90s alternative. No Hootie and the Blowfish, no New Kids on the Block, but you will hear The Cure, Bad Religion, and Liz Phair. And requests are always welcome. Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only here on WNRN. All right, back with Todd Barnett from the Field School. Todd, our Lynchburg caller touched on it, and we sort of tangentially brushed across it, but it is on my list. Is, you know, one of your missions has to do with value and ethics and accomplishment and development. I'm curious as to how you teach these things and where religion might play into this.
Well, the school is not going to have a religious affiliation, so religion is not really going to play a role at all. It'll come up in the course of learning about history or learning about English or something like that.
I think a lot of people would say that it's mighty tough to teach value and ethics mm-hmm. without some mm-hmm. sort of religious tone.
Okay. Well,
do you agree or disagree with that?
Well, I don't think so. I think my experience has been in Landon School, which was not a religious school, and values and ethics was tremendously important there. And, you know, I think that's true at UVA as well. UVA is a lot bigger school, so it's kind of hard to say that that's the case comprehensively. But the honor code is really important at UVA, and I think there's a tradition of being a good person that's an important part of being a UVA student. And, you know, it's not a religious school. Its founder was not a religious man, as I understand him. But you teach values in one of five or six ways in schools. And I had the opportunity to learn a lot about this at the school where I previously taught, which is called Landon School. It's up in Bethesda, Maryland. And I had an endowed chair in ethics there. And it was a new position that I was given. And so it was kind of open-ended. They wanted me to think about the ways in which we might do this in a better way across the board. And it was a boys' school from grades 3 through 12. And you do it by, first of all, by being recognizing your role as a role model, whether you're a teacher or whether you're an older student, and sort of constantly reinforcing that and sort of reflecting on it. In my case, I'm going to make sure that I'm hiring people who are aware of that and who are good role models for our boys. Second way you do it is by teaching it through, you know, ethics discussions, ethics classes, attention to ethics in an independent way. You do it by teaching, looking for opportunities to teach about character and values through the English class or the history class or science or math. And I've had a lot of experience in doing that through Landon School, and I thought it was really, really a good experience if you give the teachers the opportunity and impress upon them that that's part of what they're doing, then the kids start to see that, you know, their sense of values is really important to them as well. Fourth, I think I'm up to four, you do it by how you respond to things that have gone on in the school, whether it's something that's good and you praise or reward a child for it, or whether it's something that's not so good, and you deal with it through punishment or consequences. And for all those other things that I'm going to talk about in terms of teaching values and how important they are, that's the one that really gets kids' attention. If you go around this classroom of students and you ask them what they know about honesty or respect, and they tell you, and then you say, okay, when did you learn that? They usually tell you about when they messed up, when they were dishonest, and their father told them, well, this is why it's important to be honest. You know, so those big critical, you know, mess ups are the moments when kids tend to learn things in schools. And a couple of others, you bring in speakers who are particularly examples of courage and compassion. You look for every opportunity to bring those people in, have them speak, and then you talk with the kids about them. And the last thing that you do is that you try to develop in the kids or inculcate habits of behavior that lead to being ethical people, being thoughtful, being responsible, being respectful. And that might be teaching kids to shake hands with people when they meet them and look them in the eye. It might just mean promoting being sociable. I think that's actually the foundation of ethics, is being a sociable person, a person who's interested in other people. And that's something I don't think we really teach a lot as a part of ethics, but I think it's really important. It might mean holding the door for someone else. And you don't want to like be reductionist and say, well, being an ethical person is holding the door for someone. But with kids, if you can teach them to think about other people by holding the door, then perhaps it leads them to think about them in other ways. So in a lot of different ways at schools, at this small school, which I think we're going to make into a community, we are going to promote values through just constantly reflecting on it.
Well, you get bonus points for teaching them to hold the door. That drives me crazy when I follow behind someone who just lets the door slam behind them, because they're so focused on themselves, they can't think that someone might be that close behind them to hold the door. And I realize, like you said, you can't sort of cook down ethics to that, but I am always a firm believer that that says a lot about someone else for the most part. You mentioned learning something by way of the parent, I guess. You said that they might learn about honesty or respect through messing up, and the dad says this. By the way, 979-0919, because I thought that was a real nice piece in general about ethics, if somebody wants to call or question or comment. Is there some sort of required parental involvement, expected parental involvement? Because you've mentioned this several times, as a community.
Yeah. You know, I haven't said that of parents, but I think I'm going to get that. Parents who search you out, who find, particularly me, I'm starting up a school. I don't, you know, a lot of schools, most private schools out there, if they've got people who are coming to want to see what the school's like, they, you know, have them come and see what's going on in the classes and walk around. That's what we did at Landon. But you can't do that here. So I've got parents who are finding me, you know, searching me out. And by the way, if you're a parent out there who has a, you know, rising fifth or sixth grader, and you're unsure about where he's going to be next year, give me a call. You find me easily on the website. Just type in Field School Charlottesville, and you'll find me on Google or whatever. But these parents tend to be very supportive, and I think, you know, I know parents have very busy lives. Their lives are a lot busier than mine. You know, they might have three or four kids, and they got a lot of different things going on, so I'm not requiring anything of them. The only thing I'm going to do is next year I'm going to have a couple of nights where we have chances to get together and talk about school issues. It might be that we talk about you know, something like Michael Thompson, who just came through town. We might have a common reading that we do. So we'll have some things which are, you know, in a soft way required. But I'm anticipating we're going to have a lot of help from the parents. They've been really supportive, the ones who have signed on so far. So, I think when the community stays small, that's just something that inevitably happens.
We got a call from Zach. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Rick. What's going on, man?
Hey, man.
I just wanted to say, I think that the field school, the concept of the school is absolutely fabulous. And I'm in full support personally, but I obviously don't speak for everyone. But I just think that some of the things you said, especially the comment you made about values and being able to do that without religion, without an overtone of religion, I think is awesome, because as you pointed out with Jefferson. I think it's a very contemporary. I think it's a very contemporary way to approach that very issue of values. And I think that values right now are a huge part of what is lacking within the educational and a lot of the actual home structure in parenting. I now myself have a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old, but I went to a all-boys boarding school for 3 years and then a co-ed boarding school for 2 up in the Northeast. And by far, all my experience, the best ones come from the all-boys school that I went to. It did have a religious background, but I never really took much of that to heart. I think that that was just part of the background. But I do think that this ability to teach children values, that good values, and an emphasis on that, holding the door, as you pointed out, it's so strange how it often seems that you have to be, at least here, people claim that to be some kind of Southern value, and I don't think I don't think that that's the way it should be. I think it would be really great if it was just the value, or it was just that's the way it is. If we could get young children, you know, kids in the middle school ages to really to embrace these things and to be exposed to it, I think it'd be awesome. And I think that what you guys are doing is great. I also do fully support the idea of having the parents involved, because I think without them, it's a component. It can't be a complete system without the involvement of the parents. I just wanted to say that.
All right, Zach, thanks for calling, man.
Right on.
Good addition to the thoughts for the day. Nice to hear from somebody who went to an all-boys school. A few minutes left in the program. If you want to call up and make a comment or ask a question, 979-0919, 1-877, WNRN Rocks. Todd, I want to ask you, Todd Barnett here from the Field School, which will be opening September of this year here in the Charlottesville area, single-sex, all-male middle school, starting with grades 5 and 6, and then over the next 2 years, becoming middle school grades 5 through 8. We talked a little bit about the value and the ethics, et cetera. I believe the word making them sociable, you used the word sociable. Does keeping boys away from girls during the school day, will that make them less socially adept when they're sent on to a co-ed high school, or if their parents take them to another all-male high school, and so when they go off to a co-ed college, university?
Yeah. Gosh, I don't think so. One of the things that Thompson said when he came was, I don't have this exactly, but he made some kind of point that very few boys at this age, like 10-year-old boys, have friends who are girls, who are meaningful friends. You ask most boys this age who their friends are, they're the boys. And a lot of the stuff that goes on between boys and girls at this age is not something that really developmentally is all that helpful anyway, all this kind of practice dating that goes on.
In like middle school, you know, PE class, though, we had to dance together.
Yeah.
Guys and girls had to. That's how we, you know, some of the classes were devoted to dancing. My God, that was awful.
Yeah, we're going to do some things with Village School, but it's not going to be a dance. And we're not, you know, that part of it, I think, is something that most of the parents that I'm thinking are kind of grateful that their kids aren't going to have to deal with all the silly romantic stuff that goes on in middle school. And if you think about it, you know, most people, their middle school romance experiences really weren't all that meaningful, and they might have been counterproductive, you know. I'm thinking that kids who go into high school, that's a good time to start, you know, meeting members of the opposite sex. And not that it's, you know, exclusively so or anything. I just think that school is a place where a lot of boys can benefit from just boys who are being there. And there's certainly something about boy camaraderie in boy schools that I've been aware of, where the boys really do look out for one another. They really care about one another. I think it's an extension of a lot of playing sports together, where they think of one another as teammates. and they tend to think of everyone in the school as being a part of that, that big team. The school that I taught at for the most of my career, Landon, was one where I felt like all the boys kind of looked at one another as other parts of the team, and they were, as it turned out, they were really very caring and compassionate about one another. They did think of themselves as being one big family, one big brotherhood that was there. So I think that the upsides of all boys does very much outweigh the fact that they're not around girls as much as they might be otherwise.
All right, you are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. 11:57, we're winding down the program with Todd Barnett. We got our last caller of the day. Hey, caller, how are you?
Oh, not too bad.
What you got for us?
I'm just wondering, you know, you're talking about mistakes being made. You were saying earlier about that that's how people learn. Isn't it like making the mistakes that are just all very difficult for us to deal with boys and girls? Isn't that kind of what makes us better at socializing when it really starts to matter?
Good question. I'm going to hang up and let Todd answer that. Thanks, man.
Yeah, well, the idea of learning by making mistakes, I think, is really very important. And again, it's just not going to be something that characterizes our school as an opportunity to make mistakes with members of the opposite sex. But I do think that in teaching about leadership in particular, that is a really important thing, to make mistakes and to learn from them. And we're going to give the kids a lot of opportunity to help us develop this school next year and make some decisions about the way that the school goes. I haven't really had that much time to talk about how the program is oriented towards boys, but it's very much going to be a program where we're doing a lot of boy-like things that appeal to boys, the literature that we read, the field trips that we're going to regularly take, the units that we're going to do, the interdisciplinary nature of the program.
What kind of field trips are you going to take?
Well, we're going to take lots of field trips. It's called field school, after all.
Ah.
And I had a bus before I had a location. My camp's called field camp because we take two field trips a week. We're not going to take two field trips a week at school, but we're going to take them regularly enough that the kids get into the habit of doing it. We're going to go
examples.
To D.C., we're going to go to Richmond, we're going to go to the Eastern Shore. We'll go to the Air and Space Museum, the new one at Dulles up in D.C. We'll go to the Eastern Shore and do some wildlife kinds of things over there. We'll do some local ones.
York River State Park is really cool, by the way.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
That's good to
down
know.
Down off 64,
that's good
like
to know.
Around the, not quite to Williamsburg.
But we'll take advantage of all the opportunities, lots of opportunities in this area, and there's lots of things like factories and, you know, see how things work around here.
We're going to bring them into the market at Forest Lakes. We'll take them in the kitchen and I'll get them to wash some dishes.
Hey, I'd like to march them right through these studios. Yeah. This is a pretty cool little place.
By the way, as we finish up here, that last caller, you know, talked about making mistakes to learn something. Let's forget that. I can make a mistake on calculus when I'm 10. That doesn't mean I learned anything from it. You know, if you're not ready for the topic at hand, you're not going to learn anything from it. And I think that's part of what Todd is talking about, is middle school kids not necessarily always being properly attuned for the topic at hand in a social realm. We are finishing up, so toss out that information on your upcoming event one more time.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Rick, for giving me this opportunity to talk about the school. Tuesday night at Star Hill, doors open at 6 for Corey Harris and the 5x5. We're also having a very unusual acoustic show by Sons of Bill, a great local band, the Wilson boys, James, Abe, and Sam, are going to play an acoustic set. Downbeat Project is going to play, and also Mariana Bell, and all the proceeds are going to our scholarship fund. For next year, that's Tuesday night at Star Hill.
All right, and www.seavillepodcast.com. Michael should have the show up there quickly, and we'll have a link out to the field school for you. Todd, thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick.
Next week, a very interesting show on Nelson County SPCA and the no-kill sorts of way SPCAs work. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And presented by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.